1 Samuel 15 is a hefty passage. I trust that as Ray read it to you, that you saw much wrong in 1 Samuel 15. Not wrong with the Word of God, but wrong with the response of man. And a misunderstanding, a misapplication of what it means to be a leader. You ask yourselves the questions, why would God command Saul to destroy men and women and children and livestock? Why would he ask him to destroy all of that? What does the Bible mean when we read that God regretted making Saul king? How could Samuel be both angry and godly? What was Saul's primary offense against God? All of those great questions, all of them important for us this summer as we consider the difference between the fear of God and the fear of man. 1 Samuel 15, that we'll only reference it this morning, will become an important text for us in the weeks ahead, and I trust that the Lord will use 1 Samuel 15 to teach us, to convict us, to encourage us, as we consider what it means to have a proper fear as a follower of the Lord Jesus. Jerry Bridges, in his book, The Joy of Fearing God, said this. He said, "The fear of God is the animating, the invigorating principle of a godly life. The fear of God, it is the wellspring of all godly desires and aspirations." He asked the question, do you desire to be a godly person? Then you must understand and grow in the fear of God. And so as we begin our summer series this morning, let's consider the wisdom of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." So right off the bat, we see here that there is a connection between wisdom and knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And so none of you, we've said this before, none of you woke up this morning and said, "Boy, today I can't wait to be a fool." We all want to be wise. And so we see the connection right away here in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, that along with wisdom and knowledge, there is a connection to the fear of the Lord. Psalm 130, verse 4, the psalmist says, "But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared." And so there again, we have the connection between forgiveness, the forgiveness that comes from God, and the fear of the Lord. What is that connection? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, well known, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." So here we have a similar theme to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The words are reversed. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But notice what the wisdom writer says. He says, "Fools despise wisdom and instruction." So now we have a connection between the foolish, the wise man, and the fear of the Lord. You want to understand what the fear of the Lord is, then we have to understand the difference between the wise man and the fool. How often is it that we respond to the complexities in our lives with the question, "Why that?" Or, "Why now? Why him? Why her?" While not always wrong, that question of why can be an indicator that one is living outside of the fear of the Lord. That question of why can be an indicator that one is living outside of an understanding of the fear of the Lord. That they are trying to orchestrate, they're trying to govern their life by his or her own wisdom. And we will come to see that the Bible says that that is foolishness. What Bridges was getting at when he said the fear of God is the animating and invigorating principle of a godly life, what Bridges was getting at was that the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of a life lived in harmony with all of God's causes and effects. So what do you mean by that? Now think about it. Life is full of cause and effect, isn't it? God has woven into the human existence, into the human experience, cause and effect. In His wisdom, God has revealed that to us in all aspects of life. We see cause and effect in the natural realm. For instance, if I were out around my fire pit in my backyard, and I were to say, hey, that fire looks hot, but I think I'll try it out. And I walk up to it and I grab a heap of coals in my hand. There is an effect that was caused by something. What's the effect? My hand gets, because of the heat of the fire, cause and effect. God has revealed this to us in the physical realm. If someone is characterized, meaning they've given their lives to drunkenness or laziness, what is, as the wisdom writer would often, Proverbs are general axioms, right? They're general truths in life. So they may not take place all of the time, but generally speaking, someone who is given to drunkenness or someone who is given to laziness, what is the end result? Poverty and ruin. Poverty and ruin. We see it all the time. We see it regularly in our society. Now, there are those who say, hey, let's reward the lazy. But there's a lot of evidence that they're walking an ungodly, a foolish road themselves. But generally speaking, those who are given to drunkenness, those who are given to laziness, will experience ruin. It's cause and effect. Socially. 19 years I was a youth pastor. And I cannot tell you how many times parents would say to me regarding their teenager, he or she, they just got in with the wrong crowd. Newsflash, your child was the wrong crowd. We love to play that victim mentality, but oh no, cause and effect. Cause and effect. You hang out with the wrong crowd, you become the wrong crowd. You are that, to use today's term, influencer. God has revealed this cause and effect to us morally. What do we learn? What do we know about our flesh? What do we know? That we know that the flesh cannot be managed. You can't give it just a little bit of sinful pleasure and expect it to be satisfied with that. That's physically, that's not how that works. And so your body craves more. It can be substances, it can be sexually. There are a number of different things that would fit into this category. But what do we know about cause and effect of the physical nature? We can try all we want to manage the flesh. But if we give the flesh room to rule, it will. The point is that whether it be natural, physical, social, or moral, all of these aspects of life have a spiritual dynamic to them. The God of the universe is involved in all of this, and cause and effect is part of His wise plan. And so you go back to the fire burning you naturally. This is what fire does. Exactly. Proverbs chapter 6, don't turn there. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes and not be burned? What's the answer? Of course not. God knows that. And in His wise plan, He has woven that into the human fabric. fire burns. No, you can't carry it close to you. You will be burned. Cause and effect. God has worked this cause and effect into the physical realm as well. How about Proverbs chapter 23, verses 20 and 21? Remember, I mentioned drunkenness and laziness leading to ruin. And God has preserved for us this nugget of truth. Be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags. Cause and effect, rooted in the wisdom of God. Hang out with the wrong crowd, you become the wrong crowd. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Morally, managing the flesh. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 31 and 32. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices, speaking of those who are morally corrupt. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. The fear of the Lord allows the believer to recognize God's wisdom, to recognize God's power, and to bring gives them an opportunity to bring himself or herself under that knowledge and authority. And so while we may not do it with fire, we are certainly prone to doing it with alcohol or evil company or the yielding to the flesh. And yet God has given us truth. God has given us wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is the grace of God given to us to live under the principles given by God for the blessing of a godly life. So, in each of those examples that I gave, natural, physical, social, moral, in all of those examples, the wisdom writer teaches us that there are really only two kinds of people in this world. Those who live in willing harmony with God's revelation, and those who willingly reject it. Now, obviously, there's some spectrum there. But really, we are all only on one of two paths. You can't do the splits that far. We are either walking the path of the wise or we're walking on the path of the fool. God doesn't really provide for us middle ground. See, the wise embrace the fear of the Lord and are actually drawn closer to Him because of it. The foolish run in fear of God and hide from Him, or as we often see, they ignore Him. Let's compare and contrast those two. The wise embrace the fear of God and are drawn closer to Him because of it. See, the wise learn that the fear of the Lord, and when we talk about fear of the Lord, we'll cover this more. I put a slide in. I'm not going to go over all of this. We're going to cover it on another day. But I put a filial fear and servile fear. Just pay attention to that top line there so you know what I'm talking about. We're talking about the wise. See where it says filial fear and son next to it. The wise embrace the fear of the Lord and are drawn closer to Him because of it. That is a filial fear. It's what theologians call filial. Filial is taken from the Latin understanding of the word son. Specifically, a young son. So filial fear, the fear of the Lord, is a son-like response to a wise and loving father. And so the young son, we would say he has a fear of his father, and yet that fear is not a timidity, it is not a white knuckle or biting the fingernails fear, because what he does is he views in his wise father both a power and a gentleness. So the wise learn that the fear of the Lord is actually the blessing of the settled soul. To fear the Lord is to have a settled soul, an awe that motivates one to walk by faith and trust the Father. By contrast, the foolish run in fear and they hide from God. They maybe ignore God. So the fool is agitated by life and fears that God is going to keep him from good. Servil comes from that Latin understanding of the word slave. A slave's response to a harsh and a cruel master. Oh, they may obey, but given the opportunity to run, they will. Given the opportunity to get out from under, they will. First Samuel, I'd ask you to drop back to chapter 12. We have an example of the wise. We have an example of, and again, this is all introductory, but we have an example of filial fear. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14, here is what Samuel says to the nation of Israel. 1 Samuel 12, 14, he says, "If you will fear the Lord, if you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord. And if both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God, it will be well." Those last four words, you could read it this way: you will have a settled soul. In filial fear, there is a settled soul. This is the soul. This is the example of wise living. Samuel lays it out. Fear the Lord, serve him, obey his voice. Follow the Lord your God, it will be well. Your soul will be settled. You will be wise. Why? Because you are living under the care of that Father. That Father who has all power, but that Father who has all wisdom and love. Now notice verse 15, we have the example of this servile fear. "But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord," now right there in that, if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, why would someone not obey the voice of the Lord? The answer is the same for every one of them and every one of us. Because we fear that we wouldn't be getting the best out of life if we do things God's way. We've got a better idea. And I fear that God isn't going to give me what I want. He's kind of like a harsh master. And so when I have the opportunity to get out from under him, that's the route I'm going to take. "If you will not obey the fear of the Lord," or the voice of the Lord. In other words, you'll fear him in a different way. Not in a filial way, but in a servile way. "If you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you and your king." And so here we have the example of the choice to be foolish. You see the cause and effect. The cause and effect. God, see God as a good and gracious and powerful father, or see God as a cruel and a harsh master? You see him as a powerful father, and there is blessing down that road. There is the settled soul, but you see him as a harsh master, you actually see him amiss. And there is a catastrophic result down that path. It is the way of the fool. So here we see the way of the fear of God versus the fear of man. Saul, back to 1 Samuel 15. Saul says it this way. Notice 1 Samuel 15, verse 24. Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. Now it's interesting that he makes that confession after Samuel has laid out the consequences. He's been caught. He's been found out. And Samuel lays out the consequences of the foolish path, of the foolish decision. So here is what Saul says. I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, get this, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Where was his reverence? Where was his awe? It was stuck on his position, and he was scared he was going to lose it if he didn't do what the people wanted. More on that in the weeks to come. But in this case, the fear of man wins out, and we see the, again, catastrophic result. In the time remaining, what I would like for us to do is let the Word of God speak to us. From time to time, we do this, and I think it's a beneficial exercise for us. So just a few minutes ago, Ray read 35 verses. That's a long reading, but very appropriate among the people of God to sit under the reading of the Scriptures. And so we are going to do it again. Ask yourself, what do the Scriptures say to us in regard to this fear versus fear battle? I would like you to let the truth of the Word flood over you. I'm going to read a number of passages, one after the other, and invite you to not try to keep up in your copy of God's Word, but to do one of two things. To either just sit and listen and let the truth of God overflow you, or if you're a note taker, try to jot down these references so that you can look at them again at a later date. But again, be impressed with the volume of material that God has preserved for us. This is how much God wants you and He wants me to have a proper understanding of fear. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 58. That you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God. Psalm chapter 2, verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Proverbs 23, 17. Be zealous for the fear of the Lord all day long. Luke chapter 12, verse 5. I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Hebrews 12, 28. Let us have grace, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Revelation chapter 14, verse 7. Fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 19. And he shall read it all the days of his life, speaking of the law of the Lord, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. Psalm 19, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Psalm 34, verse 11, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 13, 13, but he who fears the commandments will be rewarded. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 12, gather the people together that they may learn to fear the Lord your God. Job chapter 1, verse 8, have you considered my servant Job? A blameless and an upright man, one who fears God. Isaiah 33, verse 6, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Jeremiah 32, 40, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, conduct yourselves throughout your time of your stay here in fear. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongs days. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 2, he who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 16, a wise man fears and departs from evil. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. And Proverbs 22, verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Psalm 25, verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Psalm 33, verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him. Psalm 85, verse 9, surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. Psalm 103, verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. Psalm 115, verse 11, you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Psalm 145, verse 19, he will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. And Psalm 147, verse 11, the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. Friends, that is just the beginning. It is just the beginning. Filial fear is the result of a changed heart. One who has been given new eyes to see all that is around him. Cause and effect is still going on, and now the one who follows the Lord, the one who trusts him, sees God in that and in that and in that. Natural, moral, social, God's in this. God's at work. God has a plan. Cause and effect again and again, and His word confirms it. You see, in redemption, God graces the heart with a new understanding of himself. And God graces your heart, believer, with a new understanding of what it means to be a blood-bought sinner. Out of a new reverence for the one who rescued me, out of a new awe for the one who pulled you out of your sin, the believer, the child of God, the only ones in this world who can walk in the wisdom of God, for they, by his grace, can fear him properly. The believer takes careful pains not to displease their Heavenly Father, but to earnestly endeavor to please Him in all things. The Scripture is abundant in its instruction to us regarding the awe-inspired fear of God and the sorely misplaced fear of man. This summer, may we learn from God's Word. And in so doing, may we worship and adore the only one who is worthy of our fear. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we can come into your presence Old Testament Israel, what we are doing right now, it wasn't even on their radar. To come and talk at any time, to read, to have a copy of your word in our hands, to know that we have not only been invited into your presence, but welcomed and heard. And yet, how often is it that we run after the voice of another? And we think, maybe not so blatantly, but we think, God's withholding something from me. God really doesn't have my best in mind. God maybe made a mistake or doesn't see. And we fear that we will miss out if we follow you. God, will you bring a conviction upon us? Another grace, will you bring a conviction upon us that challenges our hearts to see you in the right light as a good and a gracious and an all-powerful God who lovingly invites us in? You have even said, as often as you do this, as often as you drink a little juice and as often as you eat this little wafer of bread, remember me. And so today we remember the love demonstrated in you sending Jesus. The power that held him, the strength and the authority that raised him from the dead. God, we stand in awe. And we desire to grow in a right and an appropriate fear. Gone are the days of trembling. Gone can be the days of questioning and running away. God, would you grow in us a living and an active faith, one that trusts, because in your power you love. And so I pray that we would be a people who are motivated by fear, but the kind of fear that worships well, and the kind of fear that results in a steadied, settled heart. Thank you for the overwhelming truth of the Word. You want us to understand fear. So God, I would ask that you would do a great work this summer, opening our eyes, opening our hearts, and helping us to respond to not only what has been revealed, but respond to life as it happens with an active faith, an active fear that trusts you in all things. We praise you for the blood shed, for the wonderful gift of redemption found in Christ alone. I pray that the beauty of your love would grab hold of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.